The Invest in Her podcast is brought to you in part by Wells Fargo Bank. Hi, I'm Katherine Gray, founder of She Angel Investors and co-founder of the She Angels Foundation. I'm also the podcast host of Invest in Her and an award-winning producer, author, and TEDx speaker. Our show, Invest in Her, features phenomenal female founders and funders. As you know, women receive less than 2% of venture capital funding. Our series is about accelerating the funding of women by connecting them to funding resources. Let's meet today's guest. Welcome to this week's episode of Invest in Her. I'm your host, Katherine Gray, founder of She Angel Investors, co-founder of the She Angels Foundation, and producer of the Show Her the Money film. I mention that because today we have on a very special guest. She's actually featured in the movie. She is the co-founder of Archer Ruse Wines. Please welcome to the show, Marion Leitner Waldman. I had to add the Waldman because I know in the movie it was Marion Leitner, but then you got married and right? Yeah.
Yep.
And Marion, I'm so happy to have you on today from Boston. You know, I want everybody to that's listening to know we're going on this 50-city tour with our movie, Show Her the Money. And we will be in Boston as well as many other cities around the country and around the world. And they'll have an opportunity to meet people in the movie like yourself. So happy to have you on today so we could talk a little bit about things that maybe they aren't going to hear in the movie, right?
Absolutely. And Katherine, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here today.
Thank you. Well, you know, in the movie, they're going to find out about how you got some funding with SoGal Ventures, Pocket Sun, who's also featured in the movie. But I also want to talk about, all your accomplishments over the past 10 years. You know, I know people, and you've said this before, think that things are an overnight success. But you know, it took you 10 years to get to where you are, where this is the wine of choice served on JetBlue and you're in stores. And we're going to talk about all your distribution that you've accomplished. You also won the Mass Challenge finalist, the Babson Breakout finalist. And in these past years, also the top 10 entrepreneur of the year from the Boston Harbor Angels. So, I mean, this is amazing, all those accolades.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been an amazing journey, but I always like to say that the true contributor to success is grit, and it's really grit and persistence.
100%. That goes for movie making or any type of endeavor. Honestly, it does take grit, doesn't it?
That's what the creative process is, right? It's birth, and birth is hard.
Birth is
labor
hard.
Labor is hard.
Yep. Speaking of that, you do have a little one. What's their name?
I actually have two.
I
have a little boy named Lawson, and I have a little girl named Celia. And yes, Celia is homesick today, so apologize if we hear any cries throughout the making of this podcast.
Well, hopefully she'll get some nuggets in her subconscious and become the trailblazer entrepreneur that her mother is.
She's been joining all my conference calls all day. I mean, this is just an MBA at, you know, infant level MBA. Here we go.
I love that. Well, we just saw each other in New York for our theatrical release there, which was so much fun, right?
And absolutely. Yeah. It's always fun to hang out with you and the gang.
Yes. And, you know, I'm so glad to have the people in the movie coming to the screenings because, you know, people are really appreciating the movie and its content about, you know, explaining what is venture capital and why would people want to be a part of it, either as someone like yourself receiving funding from it or investing in it. That's really the purpose of it, of take it out on the road so more people understand what venture capital is. And I know in the movie, you know, as a new entrepreneur 10 years ago, like most entrepreneurs, you didn't really know what venture capital was, right? Or how to get your foot in the door. Talk a little bit about that. Like, is this something you would recommend to an entrepreneur? I think as we see more and more female founded funds, there's starting to be more opportunities, but you got in at a time when like no women were getting funding, make 2%, which it still is. So you're one of the rare ones that's gotten venture capital funding. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I was pretty lucky in the sense that I had a lot of MBAs in my circle. And so I was reasonably familiar with venture funding. And I love building things and building companies. And so, you know, I had a somewhat of an idea about the process, but the reality is that it is a black box. And in order to really start educating yourself about it, the only way that you can really do it is go to events that talk about venture funding and meet with other venture capitalists. But what I'm going to say is, and I don't mean to malign anybody in what I say, but this is really important for all the entrepreneurs out there, which is that all of the investors will say that there are particular criteria that they look for, but that's not true. What they look for is momentum, and they're looking for somebody who they can believe in. And so fundamentally, this is about figuring out ways to show up in your own power and place of authenticity, because you have to be kind of the messiah and the preacher in order to inspire others to have faith. And the second thing is really to build that sense of momentum means, like, you know, I would find out where some of these investors like lived in their neighborhood, and I would target building distribution there, so they felt like I was everywhere. And so you know, there are just little things that you have to do in order to like make people recognize and feel your vision. And that's kind of, there isn't a science to it, but I think that's fundamentally how women and people of color have to think differently.
Absolutely. Like really strategic. I mean, that sounded so smart, that strategy that you implemented. And I want to talk about, you know, this is something we don't talk about in the movie, and I find it really fascinating about your business, about how you decided not to do your own winery, your own vineyard, but that you created the traveling vineyard. Let's talk about what that is, because it really, I think, sets you apart. Besides the fact that you started, you know, the canned wines, which, you know, is so wonderful for, you know, so many, especially women wine drinkers out there, that they have that option, like you said, on the ski slopes or anywhere to be able to get a canned wine or on a plane now, makes so much sense. But why you have such a great quality wine, tell me about the traveling vineyard. Let's talk about what that looks like.
Yeah. So I think fundamentally what we have to remember about the wine industry is like one of the things that makes this whole thing kind of painful for a lot of consumers is that they're told all the time that they can't trust their tastes, that they don't know enough about wine in order to make decisions. That's not true in whiskey, though, man, that aisle can be confusing. It's not true in beer, though we have so many options. And the difference is that they build true consumer brands that focus on what the consumers want and need. And they speak in a language that they understand. So even though there are a ton of options, the consumer feels empowered to pick the choice that's right for them. Fundamentally, that's what I felt was missing in wine. Was wine companies didn't really market. I mean, they marketed in the same way, which was, let's talk about collecting wine. Let's talk about, you know, let me sell you an idea of living on a vineyard somewhere, as opposed to, you like to drink wine. Let's put this in your life. Let's talk about the things that you care about. I start with that because it's really important in understanding why we built the model that we did, which was, it informed that we wanted quality, we wanted transparency, but we also wanted to build a brand that could then cover a number of different countries and types of wine, because we are making a promise that our wine would always show up in a similar way. That's fruit forward, dry, transparent, high quality. And so in order to accomplish that, we had to invent a new way of doing business. And the fun thing about this was I love getting to know esoteric things and then understanding the different ways that they can be leveraged. And the thing about the wine industry is that it's mostly a B2B business. So somebody grows grapes and then they sell them to a winemaker. And that winemaker then will make wine and then he'll sell it to a distributor and so on and so forth and eventually gets to the end consumer. But one of the things that we found out as I dug into this was that there is more wine produced, or sorry, there are so many mid-sized wineries that only operate at about 30% capacity because nobody will ever say no to building a vineyard in a rural area because it brings job and it brings tourism. So there's a lot of infrastructure that's sitting unutilized. And if you don't have a lot of capital, like I certainly didn't when we started our Cheroux, we could create a new model. So rather than go out and either build a winery or buy bulk wine, which is, you know, that's buying wine that's already been produced. What we wanted to do was be able to provide a consistent quality product to consumers year over year. So instead, we partnered directly with a winemaker. We basically, through him or her, got to know the vineyards in a region. We developed long-term relationships with those farmers and bought grapes directly from them. And then we rented capacity in these wineries. So, you know, it's almost like a co-packer, but for the winemaking part of this.
Wow, this
and
is so brilliant.
It allowed us to make these wines within 20 miles of where the grapes were grown. So we could really tell a story of the area. And we could do this the same way year over year. But it also gave us the flexibility to go to France, to go to Italy, to go to Chile, to go to Argentina. And again, bring this same philosophy about putting the consumer first. And then we could really focus on telling a story about the brand that would make wine more accessible overall.
Well, you know, first I was thinking how hard it was over those 10 years, but then you were going to France and Chile, and it sounded like you were kind of having some fun along the way.
I definitely had fun.
You're
nobody
like
gets
me,
into
if
the
I can't
wine
have fun,
business,
I don't want to play.
Not have fun.
Well, that is amazing. What a brilliant system. And I know you always pick things that were environmentally correct too, you know. So when you're buying your wine, you know that you're standing behind an environmental product that, you know, so, you know, I think a lot means a lot to a lot of people. But so it's really about the taste, the quality, being environmentally safe, all of those things. And then, of course, the packaging in the can. So
but the cool thing is that that all ties together, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because 70% of the wine industry's carbon footprint comes from packaging and supply chain. And so by reinventing that, we could lower the carbon footprint and at the same time still deliver a single serve, allowing you to have a better glass of wine without having to open up a bottle.
It's brilliant. And no wonder it's taken off. A couple of questions, curious. Archer Ruse, the name?
Yeah. Great question. So we really wanted to build a brand that stood for a lot. It stood for this transparency and quality and sustainability, but would also be a vehicle for storytelling. And so we created this character who traveled around the world on top of her moose, because isn't that how, you know, everybody travels? This way she could discover wine regions and tell people the story about it. And we like to think that each one of our cans is like a postcard of her travels. And the reason why, you know, we do have this woman riding a moose is because we truly believe that wine, like life, should be full of whimsy and you can't take yourself too seriously. So we wanted to create something that was iconic, that was instantly memorable, that totally distinct. But again, would bring a smile to your face. So to us, Archer Ruse really took on a life of her own and tells this story of being this kind of swashbuckling adventurer who gets to have all of, you know, learn about all of these amazing wines and geographies. And in the process, you, the consumer, can learn about that too. And we we leverage that as the platform that Elizabeth Banks then gets to play in to really translate then how those wines show up in your life.
I love that. And that, of course, was my next question about how and why Elizabeth Banks got involved. I think she's such a wonderful asset to your funny, humorous, awesome marketing. So let's talk about that. How did she get involved and what is her role? And I think your marketing is just ingenious.
Well, I always knew I wanted to get her involved. I just always knew that she was the right, she was kind of Archer's embodied and, or personified rather. And so what we sent product to her to see what she thought during the pandemic. And she was spending a lot of time at her house in Utah and going on adventures. And she kind of fell in love with the product immediately. And so we started talking because getting into business together, as you know, it's like a marriage, right? Yeah. So you really have to get to know one another and make sure that you're in it for the good times and bad. And where I really lucked out was that I knew that she was a talented performer. I didn't realize like what a smart, savvy businesswoman she was. And so I've gotten to really learn from her, which has been wonderful and has really just made her a huge value add to the business.
That's so awesome. And people have got to Google your ads. They're hilarious. And we have a little, some of the clips in, of course, the Show Her the Money movie, which brings a lot of levity to the movie. So happy that we got to include that. So you're on JetBlue. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I was on an airline that will not be named, and they were pouring wines out of like a plastic, a big 750 milliliter bottle. And we went through some turbulence and they spilled all over my lap. And I just thought, man, like, again, this is where single serve just makes so much sense. And while I had seen some individual wine bottles available on some airlines, the shape of them makes them really hard to store. They take up a ton of space. And frankly, given that glass isn't recyclable in 80% of the municipalities here in the US, it meant that like when they were unloading catering stations, it wasn't necessarily sustainable in how things were being treated. So, I reached out to the chief sustainability officer and I pitched them. And eventually I got connected to the procurement team. And through there, I got connected to a broker. And airlines take a while. It's a long process. But I was able to convince them that this was an interesting idea. And so they did a test. But we did our test in January of 2020. And so by March, all of our planes were landed and I had a lot of wine to figure out what to do with. But it meant that it was a real opportunity for me to get creative and to also recognize that 30% of business is about solving a problem for somebody and making sure it's mutually beneficial. 70% of it is about relationship. And I just nurtured that relationship with JetBlue through the pandemic. And as they started, you know, introducing wine on board again, they were having a lot of supply chain issues and we stepped in to kind of fill gaps where opportunities arose. And through that, we got the opportunity to take over their entire wine program.
That's amazing. Yeah. Isn't that what they say that it's something about when being prepared when opportunity knocks, right? So you were prepared. I love that story. And what you said is so key to every entrepreneur that, and I think that's in everything you do in business, that it's 70% relationships.
Totally.
Whether it's raising money, building business, getting new clients, that's what it's about. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. It's kind of the missing link, you know? Mm-hmm. And so things don't happen overnight, no matter if it's acquiring funding or new clients or whatever. And I think that's the thing that people have to understand, that things don't happen overnight. Like you said, you know, it's taken you 10 years to build a business. It's taken us 10 years to really get to where we're launching our 50 city tour of our film. You know, everything takes time. And that's where we go back to the very first conversation, which is about grit, right? You got to have that grit to keep going. But it is important to have fun along the way. As much as we say grit and how hard it is and you got to get up and rebound, it is about also having a great time. But I can tell you really love your product, believe in your product. And I think that's a big part of the excitement that everybody else feels about it. My friends were just on JetBlue, sent me a picture of them holding up their Archer Ruse. I loved it. I posted it. I think it's so cool. I just love that a woman has stepped in, made a new niche, and that it's taking off and being embraced by the general public. I see nothing but great things ahead for you.
Oh, thank you so much, Catherine. It's been such an honor to be part of this journey with you all. And I really, truly feel that we're part of a revolution. And, you know, with capital comes not just a seat at the table, but an opportunity to be a decision maker. And that's ultimately what this is all about.
Yes. And I love that in the film that it shows people, if they invest in venture capital like SoGal Ventures, who then invest in women like you, that this is what they get to be a part of, getting behind women like yourself that are game changing innovators. So thanks so much for being on today. I know you've got a busy schedule. We appreciate you coming to us from Boston today. They can reach you on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. You can reach me on LinkedIn or reach out to follow us on Instagram and send us a message at Archer Ruse Wines. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, reach out to them, especially if you own an airlines or a company that needs wine distributed to it.
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Marion, thank you for being on. You can, of course, find us at SheAngelInvestors.com, but be sure to follow our movie schedule of screenings at ShowHerTheMoneyMovie.com and also follow Archer Ruse Wines. Be sure to pick some up today wherever you are. Make it a great day, everybody. Thanks, Marion.